when you walk into the ring with the number one heavyweight of the world, you'll be ready, won't you? Why? Because I waited for 50 years to make you ready. You'll be able to spit nails, kid. Like the guy says, you're gonna eat lightning and you're gonna crap thunder. You're gonna become a very dangerous person.
Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all of you precious Blood River Radio supporters out there. And also, the same greeting goes to you, maybe not quite as much, to all you people just tuning in. And to all you people that are listening to us that don't support us, but that's okay. Keep listening, even if you don't support us, but that's quite all right. Just if you can just spread the news, help us fight global white genocide. But anyway, my name is Eddie the Bombardier Miller, just in case you wonder who you're listening to. And we are proudly, I'm the head honcho of the Blood River Radio. At least I like to say I'm the head honcho. Other people tell me I'm a low honcho. But anyway, we're proudly syndicated worldwide, all over creation, by Liberty News Radio, by Sam Bushman and Jay and Miss Teenage America and the whole crew. So we've got a big program lined up today. I was just telling co-host Jason Robb, who's coming on in just a minute. There's just so much to cover. I made an outline. It would take us probably 12 hours to cover. But anyway, people, this is a Christian radio show, and you know, before we do anything, I'm going to shut my mouth. The most important thing we can do on this radio program, first time, always, every time, is say the prayer, to go to the Lord in prayer, because in the end, when you're laying on your deathbed someday, if you're fortunate enough to be on your deathbed and you haven't committed your soul to Jesus Christ, that's going to be the most important thing in your life. I guarantee double damn to you. You're not going to be worried about the border, the drug czar, who won the Super Bowl. You're going to be wondering, I hope I hadn't screwed my life up. I hope I'm not getting ready to go to the great white throne judgment and go to hell, et cetera, et cetera. So what we're going to do right now, all that aside, we're going to go to the most important thing we'll ever do, and that is we're going to the prayer. We're going to Jason Robb is going to take us to the Lord in prayer, and I'm really fortunate, really glad that he's here to do that. So go ahead, Jason, if you don't mind, do the Blood River Radio prayer, son.
Sure. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can come on this show, Blood River Radio, for the next 3 hours and be able to just give everyone, our listeners, the good news of your faithfulness. We pray that you watch over each one of us, that we can be a testament to the Christian faith, that we can always be faithful to our cause, to help stop white genocide. We're thankful that we have a creator that knows everything about our lives, everything about the world events, and that you are in total control. We pray that you continue to watch over Eddie Miller and Blood River Radio and all its staff. And we are fortunate to have a program worldwide that listeners to come on every Saturday and listen and just receive just the knowledge that they need during current politics and religious times. We ask all this to bless, and we ask you just continue to bless each one of us. We ask all this in your holy and precious name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Jason. And while we're at it, while we're thanking God, Rich Hamblin, my Charlottesville brother, who wrote the Charlottesville, the Battle of Charlottesville and back, back all those years ago in 2017, him and his wife, Janice, my little sister, they just returned from South Africa. They really did. They were over there for several weeks and quite a while. So I'm so glad they got back home safe and sound. I think they got home yesterday. Also, I'd like to, I'm feeling really sad. My little buddy, Will Franklin, I wish I could have called him today. There's never enough time, but Will sent me a text message that he was really sick. So people, if you will, keep Will in your prayers. He's a great young man, a very rare warrior. He's putting his neck on the line. If the people, the powers to be, get wind of what he's doing, he will be gone in a heartbeat. He will lose his livelihood. That's what he's doing. He's risking his life, risking his livelihood to do Blood River Radio. Okay, people, we'll give you a quick outline. The first hour is going to be Jason Robb and myself. Jason Robb, attorney at law, I may add. I'm very proud of that young man. I really am. Second hour is going to be Paul Fromm and my little sister, Monica Schaefer. There are two Canadians. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, a lot of really bad stuff going on in Canada. It's really horrible up there. Second only to Europe, man. I've read some stuff about Europe today, and it's so upsetting, so depressing. It looks like Europe is gone without a direct intervention of God Almighty. Third hour will be the bitter ender himself coming in, Gene Andrews, doing all you ever want to know about Confederate history. So, people, that's our outline aside. I don't see anything else right now except also pray that the people in Minnesota will get the damn scales off their eyes, the white people, and let them realize that they are white and that the rest of the world hates them because they are white, and get them to finally stand up for their own damn people. And that's about it right now for the outline. Now, we're going to bring Jason Robb in here, and we got 12,000 notes in the outline that goes from here to the mailbox. But so we're just going to cover what we can, the best we can with the time we have. So go ahead, Jason. How you doing today, son? I like to call you son.
I'm doing really well.
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Go ahead, son.
No. I appreciate that. Always appreciate being on this show. It's always just refreshing to know that, you know, when we speak, you know, that there are people out there that's listening and just kind of evaluating the, you know, the political atmosphere, and knowing that, you know, we are able to be a small part and helping, you know, to awake our people up and just kind of give them just another sense that there are people out there that are trying to do their part, and regarding this racial message about helping to awaken our people. And so it's always good to know that there's shows like, you know, Blood River Radio that has such a great listening audience. And so I'm always honored to be on the show.
Was an honor to have you on here. It most certainly is. You know, we've got so many things, but in the end, I always try to decide how's that, all the news events in the world. About human rights. Well, I'm for human rights for white people. I don't have time to worry about the rest of the races of the world. I'll let God take care of that. Because to me, and I know Jason agrees, if you look around, there's one race in the world that's marked for extermination, and that's our white race. That cannot be argued. There's no way that can be argued. Me and Jason talked about, and I'm going to make this really, really, really super quick. I'm going to condense about 150 years of drug trade into just a few minutes because we just don't have time, but I'm going to hit the high points. If you know, the cartel, whatever you want to call it, here in the United States, invaded Venezuela, and to get their oil. Some people say they went in there to get their oil because the people in the Middle East, Iran is going to shut the Strait of Hormuz to choke the United States and Israel off from their oil supplies, and so therefore they couldn't continue their war against Iran. Well, we're going to go to a little different slant right now because, and I'm going to, matter of fact, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go to the very last point of my notes. People, make no mistake, the oil companies and the drug cartels, it's my firm belief that they're one and the same. I think that the people that run the higher-ups, the billionaires in the drug cartels, are invested heavily in the oil companies. They hide this stuff in plain sight. If you look, and I'm usually not a movie buff, but you will look, there's a movie series on now, comes on every Sunday, called Landman, and they point that out ever so vividly. One of the biggest drug cartel heads in the Western Hemisphere is heavily involved in the oil with the oil companies. So that was the last point. I was going to save that for last. But anyway, we're talking about Venezuela. The United States said we're going to invade Venezuela because they're delivering all these drugs into the United States. Well, they probably are. And I'm just going to say, you know, the reason the United States is so pissed off probably is because it's interfering with their business. I look at the drug cartels nationwide. They're competitors to the CIA and the NSA who have been doing drugs forever and ever and ever. If you go back, a brief history, Jason, I got to make this super fast. Well, there's the music. When we come back, I'm going to go through this outline. I'm going to go through this 40 points of outline in about 5 minutes, and we'll go straight back to Jason and get him to help me break this stuff down. So people don't go very far. This is going to be a short break. Be back in about 90 seconds.
This is Michael Hill, Chief of the League of the South. I listen to Blood River Radio, and you should too. In fact, you should be telling your friends, your family, and your associates to listen to Eddie Miller and the good folks at Blood River Radio. They stand resolutely for the preservation of white civilization, what we once called Christendom, and they stand against the ongoing campaign of white genocide. In these trying and uncertain times, it's more important than ever to speak and act in defense of our God, our people, and our civilization. Blood River Radio speaks the truth and speaks it boldly. I've been on this show many times as a guest, and I'm very proud of my association with you. May our just cause prevail. Hail victory.
Bypass the mainstream narrative with Liberty News Radio at libertynewsradio.com. Engage with charismatic hosts live or on demand. We cover the crucial news focused on God, family, and country. News that other networks simply refuse to use. Think of LNR as hard-hitting news and podcasts at your fingertips, anytime, anywhere. Join us at libertynewsradio.com. Empower your day with the truth, because the truth will set you free. libertynewsradio.com.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for hanging on. Listen, this is going to be very fast. We're going to try to cram a whole lot of stuff in quickly. Okay, because time is money, money is time. We're talking about, we're outlined here, was the United States invading Venezuela for their... drug trade, wink, wink. Let's talk about the drug trade, bleep, bleep. Let's give a brief history, you might say, of modern history. I'm going to hit these points kind of in chronological order, the best my little pea brain will allow. If you want to go back to 1839 to 1842, the British, these wonderful British, part of the Anglo-American establishment, they invaded China in this thing called the Opium Wars. The British, you see, they were wanting to distribute opium and control the drug trade, the opium trade there in China. They got those people hooked on opium. You've heard about these Chinese opium dens. Okay, well, they fought that war, and I think they kind of won it. Oh, then there was the Second Opium War. Fast forward to 1856, to 1860, when the Brits and the French teamed up, made an alliance to fight China in the second, I call it the Anglo-American, although the French aren't part of the Anglo-American establishment, it's the British and Britain and the United States. They invaded China, and they pretty much fought them. So the Chinese fought back to try to fight back against the illegal opium trade. A lot of that was done under this thing called the British East India Company. Okay, that was, I'm really going fast through history, man. 1960s, Vietnam, my war. Everybody and his mama knew that the CIA and the British Black Ops were bringing drugs out of what we call the Golden Triangle then. Everybody knew it. You could buy dope over there cheap as you could buy candy almost. You really could. A lot of people came back addicted on drugs. That's fueled the 1960s radical 60s love-ins and hippies and all that kind of crap. It came from those drugs in the Vietnam War. But once again, they would take these, they loved the soldiers so much, they would put these drugs inside of coffins of the dead soldiers and Marines and send it back to the United States. They would do that. Okay, in fact, I was blessed. I was able to talk to Lieutenant James Bogreitz several times. Matter of fact, he used to be on RBN, interviewed him several times, talked about him on the phone. I don't know where he is now. He's probably been killed. He talked about after the war, after the Vietnam War, he went back to Burma to see his friend, a General Khun Saul, who was a Burmese general. He saw the General Khun Saul was turned into this massive drug dealer. And I found out through Khun Saul that some of Khun Saul's, Mo Christ found out through Khun Saul that some of his largest, biggest, best customers were the United States government, the State Department. I wish I could remember one of them. I used to know the names. I did this outline kind of on the fly, but that's true. And that's why the Bush family tried to have Lieutenant Bogreitz assassinated, because he came back with this knowledge that the United States was heavily, you know, I'm talking about the United States government was heavily involved in the drug trade. Something else just came to my mind. Pappy Bush, I call him Daddy Bush, Son Boy Bush, the first Bush president. He was, if you might remember, he was the head of the CIA at one time. And they also had this oil company called the Zapata Oil Company. It was a strange name for an American oil company, because Zapata, I think his name was Emilio, was a Mexican bandit. Well, they were flying these drugs in and other paraphernalia in from South America and Cuban points south to these oil derricks, and they're distributing this stuff nationwide through the CIA. The CIA distributed these drugs heavily cocaine. They're the CIA and the NSA, strictly, they were responsible for the drug trade, the explosion of cocaine in South Central Los Angeles. They pretty much single-handedly, in my opinion, created the Bloods and the Crips. There's an excellent series called Dark Alliance, written by a guy named Gary Webb. He was a Pulitzer Prize reporter for the San Diego Mercury News. That newspaper, I think, went defunct, but they're still around under a different name. And what he did a two-year, I'm about halfway, almost halfway, maybe more halfway through this outline, people, so hang on. He did this two-year investigation, he being Gary Webb, the reporter. And he discovered after his two-year investigation that the CIA, just like I told you, the CIA was running drugs into a lot, big time into California and other ports in the United States, too. He wrote this a series called Dark Alliance. There was a movie the name of the movie, Kill the Messenger, released, I think, in 2014. Talked all about that. We have a fella, and we'll probably have him on again soon. We can get Jason to interview him. His name is Bob Mazur. He's a CIA, former TSA agent. And he has been on this show several times talking about some of this drug trades and stuff. And because he knows firsthand, he and Bob Mazur infiltrated the Colombian with the Mandelan drug gang. He infiltrated them and had scores of them arrested. And we'll try to get him back on again soon. But going on forward, we had the CIA, the Contras, the Sandinistas were fighting against the CIA was, they were on the board. They were supporting the Contras in Nicaragua. The Contras were fighting, the rebels fighting against the Sandinista government. And that's how they caught the CIA running those drugs into California. It was involved. You remember during President Reagan's tour, they were doing that. There was a big stink there between the Contras and the Sandinistas. And that's big time. The CIA was dealing up to their elbows in drugs. They were doing it before that. They refueled, they started the Bloods and the Crips. Okay, fast forward a little bit further. Mena, Arkansas. Jason Robb's home state, very close to where my grandfather was born. Mena, Arkansas, under Governor Bill Clinton, was a big, big hub for drug trade. They were flying drugs in and out of there. There was the fella In fact, they were flying so many drugs in there and dropping drugs over the Clinton White House. I think Bill Clinton himself said his brother Roger, Jason, it was his head and nose like a vacuum cleaner. They had drugs in the Clinton White House when he was, in the Clinton governor's house when he was in Arkansas. Listen, this is all alleged according to what, according to this information I've got here. You might remember, I bet Jason remembers a guy named Vince Foster. He was he was the guy. He went to Arkansas with the Clintons, and he was choking on chicken bone in Fort Marcy Park. But he told the Clintons that their drug dealing, their criminal stuff, had gotten so out of hand when they were in Washington, D.C. he was going to have to do something to protect himself. Well, quick, I guess we'll all find out. The same thing happened to him. Him being Vince Foster, as happened to the drug Gary Webb, who wrote, who disbusted the CIA. They shot themselves in the back of the head. Gary Webb shot himself in the back of the head with a shotgun. Figure that one out. Sonny Bono.
Worst case of suicide, huh?
That's right. You got that right. We're going on down. Sonny Bono mysteriously ran into a tree about 200 yards off the skiing trail in California where he was skiing. But he was flat murdered. He was murdered because he was hot on the trail of the international drug and weapons trade in California. He made the mistake, said he was going to go to the United States Congress and make all that known. Going on, you can talk about Fast and Furious. By the way, FBI Chief Jason Ted Gunderson said that Sonny Bono was murdered. No ifs, ands, or about. If ands or buts. We used to have Inspector Jim Rothstein on the show talked about that. I think he's deceased now. I wish we could get him back on. I'm getting closer to the end of this outline, people. This is like a 7-week show in 10 minutes. And once again, I'm going to emphasize this. This goes so far above our heads. I don't see how we could ever touch it because, like I said, it's my firm belief, I'll go to my grave saying the drug cartel and the oil companies are all joined at the hip because there's billions and billions, trillions of dollars involved in that. Did I mention Fast and Furious? What's his name? The Attorney General under Sunboy Bush, was it? Eric Holder, back in 2006, Fast and Furious, they got caught, they being the CIA, the ATF, got caught doing what they call gun walking, walking guns, letting guns walk. But that meant the Bureau of Alcohol, Tax, and Firearms, ATF, and the United States Attorney. Oh, some dumbass is calling me. Hang on, y'all. Hang on a second. I usually have my phone turned off, y'all. I'm sorry. Under Fast and Furious, Eric Holder, he was the Attorney General then, the Attorney General's Office and the ATF, they were supplying firearms to the big top drug companies in Mexico. And their excuse was when they got busted, this is the last point, y'all, where they got busted, they were trying to trace those firearms to where they went because they were pretty sure, Jason, that they were going to these top drug dealers in Mexico. So that's it, folks. That took that's a lot of history right there. So we've got about a minute or two before we go to the break. So after that, Jason, I hope I didn't confuse you or go too fast. If you will, help me break down some of that, son.
Well, I think, you know, well, I mean, that's very excellent analysis over the 150 some years at least. I mean, probably could go back further than that. But, the Bible says, love of money is the root of all evil. And when you are dealing with the oil industry, when you're dealing with the drugs, and the government involvement, it's, like you said, it's way over the average person's head and even comprehension of the deep state that we hear about all the time. And so when people say about the deep state, well, that's one part of the deep state. That's stuff that has been going on that the average person, again, is not able to comprehend. And it does revolve around money. When you're dealing billions and trillions of dollars, you're going to have that evil in our government. And now I hear the music coming on, so we'll break it down even more than that in the next break.
Yes, and we have 30 minutes to do it. At least you do. I'll be watching the football game. Be right back, folks. This is a long break. Get some coffee.
Proclaim.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
News this hour from Town Hall, I'm Mary Rose. President Trump is calling on oil executives to rush to invest in Venezuela now that Nicolas Maduro has been removed.
One of the reasons you couldn't go in is you had no guarantees, you had no security, but now you have total security. It's a whole different Venezuela, and Venezuela is going to be very successful.
Economist Steve Moore says Maduro's capture opens up new horizons for the people of Venezuela, impoverished by two decades of communist dictatorship.
You have a country that, you're quite right, became a fairly wealthy country and a robust middle class. And today in Venezuela, 80%, 8 out of 10 Venezuelans live in poverty, and almost half of Venezuelans live in abject poverty, meaning they can barely find enough food to eat.
Moore made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. Since the U.S. military raid to capture former Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro, the president has quickly pivoted to portraying the move as a newfound economic opportunity for the U.S. President Trump, as he opened the meeting Friday with oil industry executives, sought to assure them that they need not be doubtful of quickly investing in, and in some cases, returning to the South American country. Public policy expert Matthew Continetti says the continuing demonstrations in Iran have made the situation there very volatile.
It's hard to know exactly what's happening, of course, because the regime has shut down the internet, shut down most phones. It's hard to understand what is happening on the ground, but what we can glean from social media is that there are mass protests throughout the country in response to the economic desolation that this regime has perpetrated on the Iranian people.
Continetti made his comments to the Salem Radio Network. More on these stories at townhall.com.
We all hear the radio ads about the IRS. They tell you to be afraid, to be scared, and they try to frighten you into calling. I'm not here to do that. Tax Relief Advocates is different. TRA is here to tell you that if you owe money to the IRS, whether it's $5,000, $50,000, or $500,000, we have a solution. It doesn't matter if you're sitting in your car, at work, or with your kids, no matter where you are, call now. 800-575-6745. Don't lose hope. TRA can eliminate or reduce what you owe to the IRS.
Generous programs are now available that can give you a fresh start.
Our passion is taxes and helping individuals fix their IRS problems.
We have over 1,000 five-star reviews on Google and an A-plus with the Better Business Bureau.
You don't need to be afraid of the IRS any longer. End your tax nightmare today by visiting us online at TRA.com or call 800-575-6745. That's 800-575-6745. Tax Relief Advocates. Real solutions for real people.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church, a congregation of God's covenant people. Informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these this means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
former sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
Dear Blood River Radio family, I thank you so kindly for hanging on. Now we're going to go back to Jason Robb. He's going to break this down and as best he can. I know I just loaded him down too much, but hey, man, time is money. Money is time. So go ahead, son. Break it down best you can.
Well, Eddie. I mean, obviously, there's a long history there of over 100 some years regarding how you broke that down. So, my analysis is that you definitely beautifully have shown about the oil and the drug industry has gone hand in hand. It ultimately goes back to money. That money can be oil. That money can be drugs. And so I believe when you're looking at in the current times, current days, like with Venezuela, I believe that the main reason we probably went to Venezuela is the oil. I think the drugs was a pretext in order to get that oil. And so, obviously there's a lot more drugs that comes from Colombia and other Latin America countries that comes into the United States besides just Venezuela. I think Venezuela, the reason we specifically went to Venezuela is because of the oil. Now, I'm not necessarily saying that's a bad thing. Every nation since the beginning of time has always attempted to conquer other lands, other countries, to enrich their own countries. And so this is just the latest one. And so, I think the main reason, Trump did that is for the oil. I think just straight up. Now, does that mean that the drug trade is just obviously going to stop? No, it's going to continue. They will take different paths. They can go just straight through Latin America, all the way through Mexico, and go that route. So I think that. The present time with Venezuela, I think ultimately it does go back to oil, and they did, you do hear, that supposedly Trump is doing what's called the Monroe Doctrine, where anyone in the Western Hemisphere, any European country or Asian country, is not going to be able allowed to do business or conduct business in our Western Hemisphere under the Monroe Doctrine. That was all the way back from President Monroe when he gave that speech to Congress. I believe it was in December of 1832. I was reading it a couple days ago. And so Monroe basically gave a speech to Congress and said, no longer are we going to allow foreign influence, Western nations coming to our Western Hemisphere and dictate American policies. We're going to do that. And so that policy of the United States obviously has been skewed over the years, been hijacked over the years, but now, that's what the reason regarding Venezuela, that what we're being told. So as far as the depth with the drug trade currently with the oil companies, I don't know. I believe you are right, Eddie, on that. But I don't know if that's the main reason. I think it's the oil that is the main reason. But again, it just comes back to money. It comes up to be, what will enrich the nation of the day. And so how I look at it is it's basically the oil. That's the reason that they're doing that. And supposedly that is to help stop Iran or Cuba and China to have them have any type of access to the oil. It definitely is not going to stop the drug trade. That I agree with you 100%. At no time is the attack on Venezuela going to stop the drug trade. There's so many different countries that are supplying drugs, and that has been involved, you know, with parts of individuals in the United States over the years that has helped help develop that to come into the United States that you well documented. I think that's just going to continue, and so that's kind of how I look at that, Eddie. Is I don't think it's going to stop the drug trade at all. I did like to see the bombs on these speedboats that supposedly had drugs on them. I did like seeing that. You know, I kind of thought, well, that would be a good game to have. You know, maybe have a lottery where a private citizen gets to push the button every time a, you know, speedboat with the drugs, you know, go through the water. They get to push the button for the missile, you know, blow it up. So I always thought that would be a good game to have for a lottery system. So that was fun to watch, but I think that's just a small part of the drug trafficking that is coming to the United States.
You know, one point about this is this, and maybe almost too late to bring it up now, out of order, but because I was going to give him, he was a serviceman. I don't know if any of you people out there remember Pat Tillman. He was a professional football player. And he, you know, Jason, you might, I don't know if you've heard of Pat Tillman or not, but
I have was, not statistically or stuff like that, but I have heard of him. Yes.
He was playing a good football player, and he resigned, quit playing football to join the Army. After the so-called Trade Center bombing, was it? And he was a damn good football player.
Yeah, he went
player,
to Afghanistan. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. And he was supposedly, he was murdered because he said he was going to come back to the United States. And I think he wanted to try to get audience with Congress. He probably could have with his reputation. And this is just kind of a side because I wanted to honor this guy. I just wanted to, I'm doing this to kind of to honor him, to honor Pat Tillman. For better, whether he was naive or not, but he became an Army Ranger, you know, special ops. He was on all kinds of special ops. He saw drug trade going on. We just got to talk about, you know, the black ops doing the drugs. And he said when he came back, he was going to bust. He was going to go to the Congress about it because once again, I'm going from memory, they were using the United States Army special ops to guard opium fields and, you know, to use that drug trade. So, but he was killed. Point blank, powder burns, because he should have never opened his mouth. But yeah, I just wanted to give honor to that fellow right there. He was in, like I say, range, two different 75th Ranger Battalion, 5th Ranger Battalion. But I think you're right. And you know, something else, I'm not sure if we mentioned this, but the straits on the air or off the air, but I think you're right about the oil being the number one thing, because the Iranians said that, I don't know if they have ability or not, but they threatened to shut down the Straits of Hormuz if the United States and Israel attacked them. So, and evidently, I'm seeing some people on other podcasts and talk to other friends of mine. They think that's, Jason, that's one of the big reasons the United States under President Trump invaded Venezuela is to get a secondary, a better oil supply in case they do, the Iranians do starve the Western alliance over the alliance between the United States and Israel, in case they starve them for oil by shutting that Straits of Hormuz down. But probably so, but like you said, Jason, every since the beginning of time, every since going back to the Old Testament days, some country is always invading another country to steal their treasure, steal their women, steal what have you. And supposedly, Venezuela has one of the largest known oil reserves in the world. So I'm with you, really, because we can get drugs anytime.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, no, it's the spoils of war. And obviously, yes. You know, being, you know, Vietnam, stuff like that, you know how country, I mean, you take control over a country or a region, it's a spoils of war. I mean, that since the beginning of time. And so it's just the modern day time version of that. It's like, okay, well, we're not technically taking over your country, but we're taking your oil. So
yes.
So it's the same thing, you know, and part of me, how I look at it is, you know, kind of playing the devil's advocate is like, well, you know, we are a bigger country, and you know, obviously it is it does serve the interests of the United States regarding the oil, because obviously you don't want oil being given or sold to China. So I kind of have that kind of my attitude is a little bit like, hey, if it hurts China, and if it really upsets the communists, you know, in Washington D.C., you know, aka the Democrat Party, if they're going just, you know, ape crazy,
we gotta go to a quick
because
break.
Of, yes.
I barely heard the music, but we gotta go to a quick break. We'll be right back, folks. Hope I didn't get this. Hope I didn't come in too late.
Get ready to be part of something incredible. We're breaking barriers and delivering the powerful stories that mainstream media won't touch. Your support is what fuels our mission to revolutionize journalism and bring you the truth. Join our passionate community of changemakers by donating at libertynewsradio.com today. Together, we're creating the future of news.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Dear Blood River Radio family, thank you for holding on. This hour has gone so doggone fast, but like we say, time is money, man. We're running out of it, so I'm going to shut up and go back to Jason. Jason said a magic word that really pushed my buttons, and we're going to let Jason tell you all about it. Go ahead, Jason.
So what I was just kind of expanding on is this idea that, you know, you have, you know, this Venezuela, the oil, and stopping the oil from going into China. And, you know, my belief, you know, is I kind of follow what's called the Monroe Doctrine that I had alluded to, where, you know, our fifth president, I believe it was Monroe, in 1832 said, we're not going to allow Western nations or even Asian nations come into our hemisphere in our back doors and start having a threat to our country. And so I kind of follow that personally. I think that's a good thing. And so the fact that if that oil stops to go to China, and that hurts China from building bases in our hemisphere, because most people are not aware that there are China camps and ports in Panama, in parts of Venezuela, Cuba, now Latin America. And so anything that prevents them from having a foothold in the Western Hemisphere, I am all in favor. Because they are, I mean, obviously they're anti-Christian, they're anti-white, they're definitely not friends of ours. So why would we want them in our hemisphere? So anything that can prevent that, I'm all in favor. There has even been talks about, you know, the Panama Canal. People say, oh, yeah, no, Trump is trying to get us to war in Panama Canal, they're trying to take Panama Canal. Well, most people are not aware that Panama itself has a lot of Chinese influence. I know in the past has had a military presence in Panama. And so if it means we're taking Panama back, the Panama Canal specifically, in order to kick China out, I'm all in favor of that. Because to me, that does not help our people, our race, our beautiful America, if you have, you know, China in our back doors. So I'm all in favor of the Monroe Doctrine. That may not be, you know, a fan. That may not help, you know, or be something that some listeners like to hear, because, you know, they say, well, we should not be having any type of intervention in any countries. But, and I agree with that most of the time. But in our hemisphere, I definitely believe that ultimately we have to look out for the benefit of America, of the United States, and that means we have to kick some Chinese out. I'm all in favor. Arab countries, all in favor of that, if they were here in the Western Hemisphere. And so anything that we can do to protect in our borders in the United States, I'm definitely in favor of that. And so, you know, people don't understand and realize the amount of Chinese influence that is happening in the United States and in Latin America. And that is something that we need to pay particular attention to. We always hear about the Arab nations and the Muslims here in the United States, which we have a huge influx of that. But people don't talk about China and the hundreds and thousands of Chinese that we have actually in the United States that are basically doing the exact same thing. They're just kind of being silent and not saying a word. But it's a strategy for them, and so I'm definitely in favor of any policy here in our Western Hemisphere to kick out the Chinese.
I totally agree with that, and I read what the Chinese were heavily involved in Venezuela, with billions of dollars worth of contracts. Some talk about building a Chinese naval base. We absolutely, positively cannot allow the Chinese to get in this Western Hemisphere. I totally agree with that. The precious Democrat, I think it was Jimmy Carter, was the one that turned over the Panama Canal. But let it go. God only knows how much blood, sweat, and tears and disease went into building the Panama Canal. Matter of fact, I think that's where Dr. Walter Reed discovered the cause of, what was it, yellow fever down there into Panama. You know, building that canal, if without the United States, white people, engineering expertise, technology, money, blood, sweat, and tears, there would be no Panama Canal. There never would have been. So I say keep them out. And like I was telling Jason on the break, we need to do another program on, I can't remember the professor's name right now, it'll come to me, that wrote an entire volume series when he was with doctors. Well, he was used to be on Dr. Stanley Monteith's show, Radio Liberty, years ago. He was with the Hoover Think Tank out there in California. This volume that he wrote, Jason, like I said during the break, was called The Best Enemy That Money Can Buy. Well, the United States in Britain, the billionaire Jews, I know when Colonel Douglas McGregor talked about the billionaires, that's code word for Jews. These Jews, back even before George Soros, and they went in and completely, totally, the United States pretty much is totally deindustrialized now. They did it on purpose. It started, Jason, I know you're aware, after the so-called Russian Revolution of 1918, where there was no Russian Revolution, Russia got the people got overthrown. But like I was telling Jason, during I'm going to say the late 20s, early 30s, the largest truck plant in the world at that time that was built by Ford Motor Company in the Soviet Union. I don't remember the name of the river, but it was gigantic truck plant. Built over there because, you know, we had just like tail gunner Joe McCarthy said, our country was riddled with communists. The State Department was just full of communists. I've said before, and I'll say it again, that Joe McCarthy, where he was wrong, Senator Joe McCarthy, he underestimated the communist influence in this country right here. But they built that country to be the best enemy that money could buy, to be a thorn in white Christendom, United States, Britain, Canada, Australia. And then they built China. China was just a bunch of peasant farmers. Our entire nation was deindustrialized. Our industrial capacity was shipped to China. They gave them secrets, free material. They did everything they could. They being these billionaire Jews controlling our government. They have built Red China, and now it's the greatest. General Nick Glasnevik said they're the greatest threat to us right now in the world, Jason. Probably that's true, but us being ethnically cleansed, systematically exterminated in the long run, white people, Europe people, it's so sad what kind of shape Europe is in. But I guess I kind of sum that up.
You're talking about Russia, about the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution, but basically it was a Jewish revolution. Most people are not aware that the Russian, they call the Russian Revolution. My figures may be a little bit wrong, but approximately there was about 330 members of the Congress. Of Russia and the Bolshevik Revolution, and I believe around 280 of those 330 were Jews. And out of those 280, I think there were like around 250, 260 of them were Jews that were from New York City.
Yes.
So most people are not even aware of that. So it was Jews, not only was it Jews, but it was Jews from New York City that prompted the Bolshevik Revolution. And then we funneled millions and millions of dollars to uplift that country to ultimately be against us, but then going to do the same thing in China and giving all our trade secrets and our weapons away. I mean, if our people never did that to third world countries, China would still be rice paddies. Living in huts. That's exactly what would be still happening today.
You're 100% right there. I had another point I was going to bring up. It's kind of slipped my mind. I guess there's just so we covered so much ground tonight. I wished I could remember I thought it was kind of important. Maybe it wasn't. My grandmother said, "What if you forgot what was that important after all?" Oh, I know what it was. Alexander Solzhenitsyn said that the Russian Revolution was not a Russian Revolution at all. He said the people that overthrew Russia, the so-called Russian Revolution, those people that controlled it hated Russians. They hated white people. They hated Christians, and they were Jews. And they're the ones that Alexander Solzhenitsyn, Jason, said that they killed, they had 66 million white people in Russia during that time from the so-called Russian Revolution over a period of, 15, 20 years or so. And other people said that Alexander Solzhenitsyn had said that he was really lowballed, that it was closer to 80 or 100 million people killed in Russia. Monica Schaefer, who will be on the second hour, is one of them through her research. And also, that's what communists do. They kill their own people. Mao Zedong he gave the quote, how many Chinese, how many colored people there were in the world, and gave the quote of how many white people. He said, about white people, why not just exterminate them? Anyway, we run completely out of time, Jason. I think we rocked and rolled. We covered a lot. I hope I didn't confuse you and the audience as bad as I confused myself. But anyway, we're getting ready to transition to the second hour. We're going to pick up my little sister, Monica Schaefer, and my brother, Paul Fromm. They're going to cover all things Canada. Canada is just melting down, folks. It's really sad. Be right back, folks. 5-minute break.